Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from you
is Mike Cosentino. Yet one more time, Democratic Perspective here.
He never stands across from me. He always sits.
That's true. It's how I got this wide. But we're going to talk about immigration this morning. Is that what
we're going to talk about immigration this morning?
How different that is.
And we're going to talk about the new crisis on the border, where they think that almost 90,000 unaccompanied juveniles will be tried to cross the border. Now, everyone has a picture of, I think people have heard a great deal about this on the news, but people have the picture of a coyote sneaking you across the border and you going into Phoenix to a safe house, and then they get you to But these are kids going and turning themselves into the border patrol. Because in 2008, and all is being blamed on Obama and his administration. But in 2008, Congress passed a law which said that you cannot immediately deport unaccompanied children unless they're from Mexico or Canada. Now, when I look at that thing, I mean, how many sex workers are being dragged over from, or children are being dragged over from Ottawa? Yeah. I don't think so.
It's a good law.
It was aimed at everybody but Mexico.
Yeah.
So Mexico, you can be immediately processed and you can be expedited. You can't expedite children from other countries, including Central America. The influx, and they think it may reach 90,000 kids this year. The system is set up for 9,000, and there may be 90,000. They're fleeing from three countries, basically, in Central America. Three countries that are in the top five of the most murderous, highest crime rates in the world. I think probably a majority of them coming from Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
Honduras is the most, according to the UN stats, the murder capital of the world. It has almost twice as many murders as the next country on the list.
Yeah.
It is a violent society.
So what is Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador?
Right. Right. And it's interesting. These are all countries in conflicts with a powerful gang groups running much of the country.
I see.
And some people are saying Honduras is really a failed state. In 2009, there was a gentleman who was president of Honduras who started out a conservative, but as he got into office, he moved to a progressive liberal, people say even left-wing position. And there was a coup against him. And they threw him out. And since then, with the conservatives in charge in Honduras, the crime rate has soared and so forth and so on. And the reason for that is a lot. Honduras has always been ruled by a tiny group of families.
Right.
We think we have an oligarchy here.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a tight-knit
real
oligarchy,
yeah,
who can provide private protection for themselves.
Right.
And then what's happened too in Honduras is the narcos, because they've been blocked from coming from Colombia and the Caribbean, are now going through Honduras.
I see.
The gang violence is extraordinary. I tried to find out, folks, as a reference for you, I listened to a great program on NPR about a group in Honduras, civilian group who were just trying to bury the dead. You know, they find someone shot dead on the street. They were just trying to find out who the person was and give him, and in Honduras, a decent Christian funeral. Extraordinarily dangerous work, asking question who this guy was, why he was killed, get you in a lot of trouble.
Wow.
So there's almost nobody coming from Nicaragua. Nicaragua is just as poor as these three countries, if not poorer.
Yeah.
And there's nobody coming from Costa Rica and Panama. They're all coming from these three violent-ridden countries that are more and more controlled by gangs.
All the Americans are going to Costa Rica and Panama to hang out.
The other statistics, I think, is sort of telling that originally these unaccompanied juveniles, almost entirely boys,
Right. Now, they're blaming Obama because of the DREAM Act. Is that it?
They're blaming Obama because of the DREAM Act, but the influx starts in 2011, and the DREAM Act is not passed until June 2012. So it's like the guy's sort of blaming the Great Recession on Obama when he wasn't even in office when, of course, the crash happened. But they're saying it's because of the DREAM Act. Now, the DREAM Act does not apply to any of these kids.
Exactly.
It doesn't have anything to do with it.
It's one of the more insane Republican comments.
But if you're a smuggler, you know, what are you going to tell people? You say, well, you get there, they're going to send you back, or the DREAM Act doesn't apply to you, or you never, they did some polls, none of the kids have ever even heard of the DREAM Act anyway.
Right.
DACA, I think it's called DHCA.
That doesn't stop them from raising funds. And that's what it's all about right now on the right, is raising funds with all of these hot button issues.
Yeah. Immigration has always been one, and it's one that brings out, well, let me get one statistic before we go. And to get a sense of what's happening, Mike, is that the percentage of girls has been going up and up. It's almost 50% girls. The girls are being raped. They're being forced into prostitution. And they're being forced to become girlfriends of these gang members. And so more and more very young women and girls are fleeing to the United States unaccompanied, or accompanied part of the way by a relative, or if they can hire somebody to help them, so forth and so on. So more and more violence, higher and higher crime rate. Now, the conservatives say with some justice that the massive influx, the doubling the number of refugees, hasn't been reflected in doubling the crime rate the last year in, say, Honduras. Uh-huh. The crime rate's gone up, but hasn't doubled.
Right.
So there's more than just this vast amount of violent, murderous crime. And I wish I could describe it to you folks. You need to get a report if somebody's been down there on the streets in these countries.
Yeah.
It's just gotten worse and worse. Just one little last comment. The big question is it violence driving these kids north, or is it seeking economic opportunity? If it's violence, then under American law, it's pretty much we can't send them back.
Use the word refugee.
Yeah. The other thing is that one of the articles, and this was in the New York Times by a woman who's worked a long time, said, quit calling them illegal immigrants. Yeah. Call them refugees. Set up refugee camps like all the rest of the world. 90,000 seems like a lot of people, but my God, how many refugees does Jordan and Lebanon and Turkey?
Millions. Refugees from Syria. Yeah.
So if they can handle millions, these poor countries and somewhat
the richest
lacking
country
infrastructure.
The richest country on the planet should be able to handle 90,000.
So her proposal is, instead of doing this elaborate thing where they're sent with family to live until this thing can be adjudicated and so forth and so on, is keep them in refugee camp for 60 to 90 days and decide in those 60, 90 today days whether they're, refugees from violence, or they're immigrants looking for a better life. Now, Mike and I were talking about the Sure Show. I mean, all our ancestors all came here because, you know, for both reasons, some of them. But, so that's the debate. And then her position is, you keep them there. You have a standard refugee thing, just like, and looked over by the World Refugee Organization. You screen the kids. You hire, people and train people to screen how to interview youngsters to find out the truth of what they're doing. And 60, 90 days, if they're here for economic reason, you deport them back to their countries if they have a relative back in those countries. And some of these kids, most of their families are dead. But if they're economic refugees, they go back. If they're refugees from violence, they get to stay. Well, the other debate, and one last thing, Mike, is the other debate is, and I'm going on and on.
It's all right.
The other debate is, a lot of the laws about refugees are about state violence. In other words, if the state is trying to persecute you, then you have a really strong case. Everybody from Cuba, from all the Eastern European countries, got asylum basically in the U.S. based on, being persecuted by the government. And the question, another question to think about or reflect on is being threatened by gangs the same as being threatened by the state? And some people say Honduras is a failed state that cannot protect its citizenry anymore, right?
Yeah, well, no, that's a good, I just see, two things. I see this as a simple way for America to be America again. Now, Langston Hughes' beautiful poem, Let America Be America. But we have a chance to do a good thing, a thing where history can look back and say, well, at this point in history, you know, the United States fed these people, took them in. Why is this so hard? When did we become such a nasty, nasty, stingy group of people that we want to demonstrate against keeping kids for a while and doing what we've done since this is as old as American history. In a few weeks we're going to have a conservative of Italian descent on, and one of the things I'm going to mention is that his relatives, when they emigrated, when they were immigrants in America, started the biggest crime wave, and we've been fighting organized crime for 60 years. Now, on that basis...
You're relative too, then, Mike.
That's right. That's exactly. I am Italian. On that basis, we should have never allowed, we still should be deporting Italians. I don't care who they are.
None of the groups ever coming to the United States have ever been popular. The English arrived first. The Scots-Irish started coming, and people with names like Jackson and Jefferson are Scots-Irish. And the English hated them. They thought they were crude, violent, vicious, lazy yeoman type. And then when the Germans and Irish arrived, they hated the Germans and Irish. When the Jews arrived, they hated them. When the Italians arrived, whenever there's a new group, there's conflict. And when there's ever a people arriving and they live in a really poor environment, and there's crime. Well, and there's as a way to get ahead and protect yourself.
I told you, there's a thing going on, the immigration's going around the internet. Immigration started in 1492, you know. And there's I swear it's on somebody's Facebook page every three times a day, and that's a Native American face saying, oh, you're against immigration? When are you leaving? You know, kind of thing.
I wanted to go to a point that you were talking to me about before the show started, Mike, which is that immigration is a issue that brings out the right wing in otherwise liberal, progressive, democratic folks.
The name of the show is Democratic Perspective. And one of the things that we don't do is we don't fall on the Democratic petard, because we recognize that the Democratic Party is a religious political, and they do, as far as I'm concerned, are not pure as the driven snow, not as clean as God's fingers.
We're called the Birdie Valley Independent Democrats, with emphasis on independent.
So we started the show to counteract conservative lies. We felt there was just an incredible amount of expert lying going on out there, and to present a reasonable perspective, which just in this country anymore, reason happens to be liberal. If you want health care, if you want to fund education, if you want immigration reform, then all of a sudden you're a liberal. So here we are in Democratic Perspective. But as Steve was trying to say before the show, we were talking about friends that I have down at the coffee shop, his plan, this is a guy that's otherwise, he wants to, you know, give poor kids food stamps, he wants to do liberal things, he wants to fund education, which for whatever reason, the GOP doesn't seem to want to do that. But when it comes to the border, things change. He's not so liberal. His plan, and he is serious about this, I have military training, he has not. He wants to give me an M16, he wants to take an M16, and take all us old codgers, put us on the border every 1,000 yards, put Tabak down there, put you down there. Yeah, he can fire a gun. And then
are we going in a cool month or a hot month?
We are.
I'm not going in July, Mike.
Well, that's where rank has its privileges. Depends on your age, I guess. But he says, give us some MREs, put us in a foxhole. We can wave at each other, you know, every 1,000 yards, and then rotate us every month. I mean, this is his plan, and he's serious about this. And he obviously has more details. But this is his way to secure the border.
But right now, under American law, it's illegal to just send the kids back, as I understand it, the 2008 law. You can't just, I don't know what you would do, grab them and just send them back, shoot them. What would happen?
Yeah, well, he mentioned shooting a 12-year-old girl, and then all the others would get the message, but I didn't take that part seriously.
Yeah. I think it brings out the real territorial sense. And
yes.
Someday we'll have people who believe in open borders, and they'll make the case for open borders. But I think this really brings out the territorial sense. It's hard to have a nation state. Right. If you can't control your borders, if you can't control your borders, who comes in and out, then you don't really have a nation state very easily. The other thing that happens is, of course, you'll notice that all the people that they really, really don't want in the country are all poor. And that if you have enough money, you can arrive here and without any problem. But you can go anywhere in the world, pretty much live anywhere in the world if you have a ton of money. If you don't, you get a little bit different treatment.
Well, that's it. The liberal Democrats, at least people that call themselves that, and there's a website called Liberal Democrats.
Really?
That, they want more stricter border controls. They are campaigning to introduce better border controls that, including those people that overstay their visa from the UK or from France or Belgium or somewhere. They want to know who these people are and do something with them rather than have a country full of or at least a lot of immigrants that were not so they believe in stronger border controls and the way to do that is to have the controls of the border in whatever form they are. Forget about electronics, but there has to be somebody there checking papers.
Yeah, I think there's a...
According to them.
My thought is, I mean, I tend to be kind of conservative on immigration issues, but I think that it's a real... It sets off emotions among everybody. And I think one of the things that really irritates conservatives, moderates, and liberals is just the sort of flouting of the law. You know, we have a law, and you just kind of ignore it, and that seems like a terrible thing. Even though you're actually not doing any harm... You're actually contributing to the economy, and you're actually doing what all our ancestors did. And the other thing is they're trying to make a distinction between the kids that are fleeing violence. But there's you know, if you live in one of these poor areas in El Salvador, are you under specific threat? And there's these terrible stories. One young boy's brother disappeared. I think he was about 14 years old. He went looking for him. He was 7 years old. They found them both dead. The 7-year-old had been beaten and tortured for looking for his brother. So crossing these gangs, is a very, it can be a general fear or it can be specific. Some of these people, the gangs have come to the families and said, you know, give us your daughters. And they grab their daughters and head anywhere
north. So you're saying the government, the U.S., needs to make that determination. And if they make that determination, then that person moves from immigrant to refugee.
You can't morally, they get amnesty, refugee status. You can't morally send some, I'll ask folks out there. Girl is threatened with being raped or being basically turned into a prostitute for a gang. Can you morally send her back
to
Honduras
asking,
or something?
But they're asking Obama and the government to turn a blind eye to that. That's not a question. Nobody's saying, oh, please check their status. I haven't caught this bit on the news yet, but our girl Hillary is down on the border sounding like a Republican?
Yeah. Yeah. She called for expedited deportation of the kids to send a message. So the logic of this is, if you're generous and kindly, then more will come, right? Instead of 90,000 this year, there'll be 180,000 next year. That's the fear. And then the other side of that is, these are kids mostly.
Yeah.
And one Texas representative went down and looked at him because there's some teenagers there. He said, I find them frightening looking. He said, of the refugees.
So when's the last time he was in American high school? That scared the crap out of you. Just watching them walk and just standing in the halls. But, so the justification, this is, I mean, Hillary, I'm extremely disappointed.
I believe that information is accurate about her.
She's doing what John Kenneth Galbraith said. She's looking for a moral justification for selfishness. She said, Galbraith said, people have been looking for this for generations, for a long time, said, how can we be as selfish? How can we lock the gate, keep our stuff? And I don't know that's so, to me, that's un-American. That's unfounding father. Where do I begin, Sarah? Or Glenn, this is un-American. This, I put in a thing on my Facebook that I'm listing the Statue of Liberty on Craigslist because we don't need it anymore. We sure as hell don't believe what it says. I mean, we need to sell that thing to the highest bidder because what it says on there about taking in anyone is, so blatantly untrue. I don't recognize the country that I was born in.
And what I'm talking about really is just sort of the logic of, and the logic of it, if it's a push, that is the gang violence, government breakdown, government violence, then you have a very, very good case to get refugee status here, get sanctuary in the U.S. If it's a pull, you come here because your family is impoverished and you have no prospects and so forth and so on. And in many of these Central American countries, the kids are afraid to go to school anymore. Schools are organized and controlled by the gangs. If you don't work for them, yet they're in the schools, they're in the police, they're in the judiciary. You have a country like Honduras who is ruled by a few families who never really gave much of a damn about what happened to the rest of the population.
Because they can afford to protect themselves,
and they're probably in bed with the traffickers. It's just another source of income for the big families. And, there was a recent election, and the Hondurans elected this conservative rather than the wife of the more liberal fellow who was overthrown. And, I guess it was a pretty good election because they were openly buying votes and had these interviews. I'm going to vote for the conservative because he's giving me money,
Yeah.
He had a deal to pass out a bunch of money, promised to put the military in the street, rig the whole thing. See, a lot of places in the world, state power is used. This is Russia, Putin's Russia, right?
Yeah.
The whole power of the state is used to reelect Putin.
Sure.
There are elections that actually count the ballots. Same thing in Iran.
Tom Horn, Arizona.
They count the ballots in Iran. They just,
Yeah.
Or at least sometimes they do. The last election.
Tom Horn's Arizona. His whole office is there to help him get reelected. That's what the Attorney General of Arizona hires people for. But this isn't John Kerry offering to count mediate the election.
Afghanistan. I think he's worked out a mediation effort there. If you think the United States is polarized, you have other countries who are in much, much more difficulty and have very much fewer resources. And the real question, and we're going to have Stephen Walt, who's a famous foreign policy expert on, we'll ask him about it, but it's difficult to decide what to do. I mean, one of the things the administration doing is trying to work with Mexico to stop them because the kids are coming from, say, Honduras or El Salvador to Mexico before they come here.
Right.
Now, if you stay in Mexico, you stay poor. If you come to the U.S., you have a chance of making a decent living after a while. So part of it is, of course, and I would agree with the conservatives, part of it is an economic draw to the U.S. There's no use because it's much easier if you're in just to go over to Nicaragua. The problem is there's nothing for you there.
There's no work there either.
There's no work there.
Well, I just when these things happen, and you frame the argument wonderful, Stephen. I mean, you have, every time I get emotional, you get logical, and I suppose that's a good thing. You lined out the logic of the positions of the refugees slash immigrants very well. But my thing is, when it gets confusing, you need to step back and see what your values are.
Okay, here's a question for you. Here's a question.
And if your values are helping the downtrodden and the huddled masses, well, then that's probably what you should do. If those are your values, now if those values have changed, then I suppose if you're a politician, then you need to let the rest of the country know that. And okay. Maybe that's what the conservatives are doing.
All right. The kids are coming from the most violent, brutal societies in this hemisphere. But if we accept them all, the conservatives are going to say, okay, like, I don't see how you can live in Honduras at this point of time anyway. I mean, it's unless you're rich, if you're one
of those families that you mentioned.
But then what's to stop? The whole world is filled with poor folks. The whole world is filled with people who are abused by either the government, gang. The gang culture is not limited to these countries.
So you're worried about
the
slippery slope. So when did you join the NRA? How did I miss it?
No, I'm just asking you. I'm asking you as a provocative question.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I did join the NRA, but I was like 16 years old. You were a member, too.
I was.
So don't tell me.
Well, I joined because I wanted to advocate for gun control. Yeah. And what better way to advocate for gun control is that way I could say I was a member of the NRA, and I believe in background checks, as do 70% of the people in the NRA. But that's a different show.
Yeah. That's a different show.
But So you're saying if we
open those borders, what's going to keep people from millions of people, hundreds of thousands of kid, how can we tell those who are really in danger, and there's no doubt that some of these kids are, from those who just want to make a decent living?
And your crystal ball, you say that's what's going to happen if we help these kids.
I'm saying that's the argument you're going to hear from conservatives and some liberals. And what's your answer to it?
My answer to that is, especially we're in Sedona, we live in the now. We have a real problem in front of us that we can do some good. And we should. We can, fine, sort them out, refugees slash immigrant, and we have the mechanism to do that. We've been doing, such a well-oiled, such an up-and-running immigration system that we can apply your logic to it very, very well.
But what's the difference between your values, who you say, let them in, let's help them. These are like kids. A lot of them are running away from violence.
What I'm saying is I don't have to worry about the millions, I don't know where, in the Congo, or they're not here. And they're not coming as far, you know, the boatloads are, so you're saying I should worry about some ethereal, Steve Williamson's crystal ball, you and Bill Kristol and all the other whacked out conservatives on Bill Maher are saying that you can see in your crystal ball that there's going to be millions of people at our border dying to get in because they want to be busboys at Lisa Pizza, Pizza Lisa.
And that's really terrible, right? I don't think so. I'm asking you as a provocation, Mike.
Okay, I understand.
My answer is it's not happening.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Your response is, look, I have values, and when I look at the situation, I respond to the situation on the border with compassion. We'll work the rest of the problems out later. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, you're saying, yes, exactly. I don't know that there's going to be a problem later.
Okay, but if there was, what would you do?
Work it out.
Okay. So I'm just trying to get at the values, because you were talking about your liberal friend who has.
So you're saying be cruel now in case you have to be cruel later.
Well, to send all these people back certainly would be cruel. Some of them will be killed.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying be cruel
now.
You
make a mistake. You send some kid back to El Salvador. The gang wants to do him in because his father wouldn't pay him off or something to punish his family. You're responsible then, I suppose, and so, at least in a softer way or
let's sort them out. I certainly don't want to do it. What Hillary said. I mean, expedite deportation is. Maybe I'm sure there's a number of them that ought to be deported.
So, What the Obama administration does, and the reason the president asks for money, and of course then the Republicans in Congress don't want to give him enough money to help solve the problem. Part of it was to help Mexico enforce their law. Part of it was to build protective camps and stuff in right. Honduras and in El Salvador and Guatemala.
That's the UN kind of stuff.
Yeah,
UN
kind
style.
Of UN thing. And so you could bring the kids back, but they would be protected.
Right.
And then you could see if you could reintegrate them into the society. But I hear you. I hear you that you're responding just on your values. Other people are responding on this.
Well, I thought they were I thought they were American values. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong there.
Well, they don't seem to be. I mean, your friend wants to go and shoot kids who try to cross the border. He says he wants to shoot a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, I don't think he. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But that's the rhetoric.
That's the rhetoric. Yeah, exactly. So that was the point of our little part of the point of our show this morning is that this immigration issue brings out the right wing and even reasonable liberals.
So, if it's not that anything Obama has done, it's not just strictly an increase in the crime rate, it's the increase of smugglers finding it. Now, if you're a smuggler and you get this, her mom works in D.C. as a maid or something, she saves her money, and they actually what they do is they get a collective of all their friends, and they get enough money to pay a coyote to bring them across Mexico.
Yeah, $7,000, $7,000.
That's a lot safer than trying to smuggle drugs, because all you do is walk the kid to the border. Yeah. Cross, and then you turn around and go back. If you're a drug smuggler, it kind of can be more complicated and dangerous.
Yeah.
And so the smugglers have bought into this, and they're going around in these countries and telling.
Recruiting.
Recruiting.
I'll be darned.
That's changed.
You think that's really happening?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
I believe.
And
that.
Are you going to tell people the truth? You know, apparently they believe that there are things called permisos, which allow you to stay in the U.S. and actually it allows you to have a court date. So the people in El Salvador and all these countries are getting misinformation about what's going to happen. They really don't know, and they want to believe that. Do it. So if they come with their kids, then they go through this expedited procedure and they could be sent right back.
Right.
But if the kids come only by themselves,
right. Well,
then it's a different set of rules. So you can change the American laws, I suppose, so that you reduce protection.
Can't get Congress to do anything.
Well, yes. And you can't get them to put the money in to actually do a thing. So one of the things that the government wants to do is to tell people in these countries the truth about the actual coming here and what it means and dispel the rumors. And I despair, Mike, because I see a country like Honduras, which they had a mildly left-wing guy. Now, he was the president of a country, and he was doing something which the Supreme Court of the country told him he couldn't do.
Right.
So he was in direct violation of the Honduran Constitution. But the country is trapped in this brutal situation. And the United States, if not behind some of these dictators, certainly has, you know, when we interviewed Noam Chomsky, the United States supports the dictator. The dictator becomes unpopular. We say, oh, bye-bye, we don't like you anymore. And as soon as he's gone, we reinstall, a la Egypt, the same military guys who ran the country before.
Yeah, well, it's all a godfather. I mean, it's who supports American business. If one dictator becomes unsupportable, in other words, you can't prop them up any longer, you look for the next one. And the litmus test of if he supports American corporations, well, then he's got a shot at.
So as of mid-June, 52,000 unaccompanied children have crossed illegally into the United States. Back in 2009, it was less than 25,000. So the numbers have been building. And it's a complicated thing the conservatives and the liberals both have some points on this about why it's happening and stuff.
So if we don't send a message that 52,000 is going to turn into 90, Is that what you're saying? That's
the estimate for this year.
That's what Hillary is saying.
This is June 15th. It's 52,000. They're guessing that by December 31st, it'll be 90,000.
So we got Bill Kristol and Karl Rove and all the conservatives agreeing with, just to point out this point in history, agreeing with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and the most ridiculous stuff is to send is various Republican gubernatorial candidates calling for sending the National Guard to the border, because the law says you can't send them back. You either have to change the law, or maybe there are some workarounds that the Obama administration could do. But every time he tries to do this, he gets accused of the imperial presidency. But they can't do anything. If the kids come across the border, what is the National Guard going to do? They're going to have to take the kids in custody, just like the Border Patrol. It would put more people on the border. But they have to be treated in a certain way according to American law. And if you don't like that, you change the law. The law is based on trying to be compassionate rather than being...
I think the idea was that you would prevent them from entering, and therefore the law wouldn't. That's what the National Guard would do. They wouldn't enter.
The kids are, what they're doing, Mike, and they're almost always all coming over in the Rio Grande.
Yeah, there's no checkpoint at the border.
They just walk in, and then they look for the nearest border patrol and turn themselves in.
Right.
Yeah. You turn yourself into the National Guardsman. I mean, what difference is it going to make?
What if you had National Guard, quote unquote, on the border? No, I don't see it. I see it as more of my friend's scenario, where you got these National Guardsmen are out there. And so they're not going to be stepping across the border. They're not going to be...
How long's the border?
Getting to... really long.
Really long, that's right.
That's all I know.
It's a really long border. And I think you'd have to have one guy every 100 feet stationed there 24 hours a day, 365 days
Texas,
a year.
Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, and California. Those are the four states that people can walk across the border.
They're wading across the Rio Grande. Depends on how much water's in it. They're floating across in a little boat somewhere. Then they're going. I mean, it's the irony is they're going and looking for the Border Patrol rather than trying to hide from the Border Patrol.
Because we're so used to the whole Mexican immigration hiding from the Border Patrol. Well,
just to be clear about a few things, the unaccompanied kids are largely not from Mexico. If they're from Mexico, they fall under a certain different set of rule. They come from these violent countries in Central America. I'm afraid that their governments and societies have just gotten worse and worse.
Right.
And they're under a separate law because, one, they are kids, and two, the United States has signed multiple international agreements requiring it to offer asylum in certain conditions. Mm-hmm. Almost all the countries in the world have signed on to asylum regulations. So just sending all the kids back would be a violation of U.S. law. It would be a violation of treaties and agreements that we've signed. So there are more legal aspects of this than you would think. But I think the important thing is what Mike is saying is really, what are your values? This is a difficult situation, and how do you respond to it? Do you respond to it by throwing them all out? Do you respond to it by trying to cope with it? You've got a system set up for 9,000 kids, and they're projecting 90,000. Do you change the way they do it? I mean, how good are the Border Patrol guys in handling 14-year-old kids who don't speak English?
Well, hopefully they've had the training that's really what they're doing in up and down the border. They're handling families and they're handling people of all ages.
One of the things we were talking about earlier is the asylum law is designed for people seeking protection from a government, not from non-state actors like gangs, right? And that's something that has to be considered, because when you have a failed state like Honduras, where the gangs really run the country or come pretty darn close to it, isn't that actually the government's responsibility? And so what they would call the lawyers would call non-state actors threatening them, like these gangs, it's really a failure of the government to provide any protection for its citizens.
Well, once again, the, we talk about values. It's really, once again, really, really simple that, I think there's going to be an American backlash against the Democrats. I think, you got the conservatives saying the Democratic support of the border kids is going to cost them politically. Forget about humanity. Forget about what's right. That the Democratic support, but I think the non-support of the kids and the Democrats' inability to do something liberal with immigration reform. Right now, all the current laws are still are disgusting to me.
Congress has done nothing about immigration reform, which would help solve all those problems.
But I'm talking even the Democrats' position on immigration reform. It takes too long to become a citizen. Every time a Democrat comes against a Republican, the Democrat gets beat up.
You're soft on immigration.
Well, yeah, there's no such thing as a liberal position.
If I hear you, what you're saying is Americans should just be brave and act from their values.
In other words, you don't know
what's going to happen. We let 90,000 kids, you don't know what's going to happen next year.
Right.
But what you're saying is our values say we can't send the kids back without finding out why they're here. So we can't do that. And we have to follow the law.
Right.
And you're saying stick to your values and somehow this will all work out. I don't hear very many people saying that, but you're saying that. Right?
I am saying that. I am saying that because it's, like I said, it's a little step back and, hungry kids in trouble, girls being raped, we can do this. We can take care of this. And feed them and house them and then decide who's going back and who's not. If worse came to worse, then you wanted to have a deal with Mexico and set up refugee camps in Mexico, then that's fine. If you want to say, because they're not going to change the law. I'll bet you right now they're talking about how to set up a refugee camp outside our borders, because this is what the United States does.
A lot of the kids have been stopped by Mexican authorities and then sent back to Guatemala or wherever they come from.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to have Michael Austin, who's one of our favorite interviews. We'll be talking about...
How many times? This is his third?
This is the third time. We'll be talking about the Constitution, how the Constitution works.
A lot of talk about the Constitution lately.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we elected a constitutional lawyer president, but everybody knows more about the Constitution than he does. It's amazing.
We'll be talking about the Constitution, how constitutions interpret the American Constitution in context with all these other constitutions. We had the first one that's still in existence. We are in terms of constitutionality, we're the oldest country in the world. So we'll be discussing the Constitution, how it works.
We have the oldest Constitution. Be careful about that oldest country.
We're the oldest country that has a constitution that's still in effect. It's been modified, but yeah. So we'll be talking to Michael Austin. It should be a really, really interesting show. We want to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks and Democrats of the Verde Valley for providing some support for the show. Democrats of the Red Rocks has an office open on Soldier Pass Road.
Yeah, yeah.
Right near Judy's restaurant.
Go visit.
Mike.
Exactly. It's quite a joint.
Go visit. It's the coolest office they've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a former architect's office that they've rented for a few months. So it's really, really pretty. Free water if you visit.
Free water. Well, it's an Arizona thing. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to Michael Austin, the whole constitutional discussion, because I like these philosophical, or at least the Constitution. We have this marvelous document that both sides claim as justification for their positions. You know, the Democrats claim Constitution as justification for many of their positions, and the right wing claims the Constitution. Everybody except Chester Crandall, who's our senator, who wants to secede, as we were talking about, still getting secession rhetoric from the Senate representative from LD6 in which we are.
The rhetoric really is just modifications and what they call iterations of the old Civil War rhetoric of states' rights.
Yes.
And it's for a lot of the same reasons.
All right. Well, we'll talk. We'll look forward to seeing Michael Austin next week. Thanks, folks.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.